At dinner, the conversation was chiefly kept up by the two madams, and carried on in double-meaning expressions, interrupted every now and then by kind assurance to me, all tending to confirm my satisfaction with my present condition. It was here agreed that I should keep myself up and out of sight for a few days, till such clothes could be procured for me as were fit for the character I was to appear in, of my mistress's companion, observing withal that on the first impressions of my figure much might depend. The truth was, Mrs. Brown did not care that I should be seen or talked to by any of her customers till she had secured a good market for my maidenhead, which I had at least all the appearances of having brought into her ladyship's service. After supper, being showed up to bed, Miss Phoebe, who observed a kind of reluctance in me to strip and go to bed in my shift before her, now the maid was withdrawn, came up to me, and beginning with unpinning my handkerchief and gown, soon encouraged me to go on with undressing myself. And, still blushing at now seeing myself naked to my shift, I hurried to get under the bedclothes out of sight. Phoebe laughed, and was not long before she placed herself by my side. She was about 25, by her most suspicious account, in which, according to all appearances, she must have sunk at least 10 good years. Allowance, too, being made for the havoc which a long course of hackneyship and hot waters must have made of her constitution, and which had already brought on that stale stage in which those of her profession are reduced to think of showing company instead of seeing it. No sooner, then, was this precious substitute of my mistress's laid down, but she, who was never out of her way when any occasion of lewdness presented itself, turned to me and kissed me with great eagerness. This was new. This was odd. But imputing it to nothing but pure kindness, which, for aught I knew, it might be the London way to express in that manner, I was determined not to be behindhand with her, and returned her the kiss, with all the fervour that perfect innocence knew. Encouraged by this, her hands became extremely free, and wandered over my whole body, with touches, squeezes, pressures, that warmed and surprised me with their novelty. The flattering praises she intermingled with these invasions contributed also, not a little, to bribe my passiveness. And, knowing no ill, I feared none, especially from one who had prevented all doubt of her womanhood by conducting my hands to a pair of breasts that hung loosely down in a size and volume that full sufficiently distinguished her sex. I lay then all tame and passive as she could wish, whilst her freedom raised no other emotions but those of a strange, and till then, unfelt pleasure. Every part of me was open and exposed to the licentious courses of her hands, which, like a lambent fire, ran over my whole body and thawed all coldness as they went. My breasts, if it is not too bold a figure to call so two hard, firm, rising hillocks that just began to show themselves, amused her hands a while, till, slipping down lower over a smooth track, she could just feel the soft, silky down that had but a few months before garnished the Mount Pleasant of those parts, and promised to spread a grateful shelter over the seat of the most exquisite sensation, and which had been, till that instant, the seat of the most insensible innocence. Her fingers strove to twine in the young tendrils of that moss, which nature has contrived at once for use and ornament. But, not contented with these outer posts, she now attempts the main spot, and began to twitch, to insinuate, and at length to force an introduction of a finger into the quick itself, in such a manner that had she not proceeded by insensible gradations that inflamed me beyond the power of modesty to oppose its resistance to their progress, I should have jumped out of bed and cried for help against such strange assaults. Instead of which, her lascivious touches had lighted up a new fire that wantoned through all my veins, but fixed with violence in that centre appointed them by nature, where the first strange hands were now busied in feeling, squeezing, compressing the lips, then opening them again, with a finger between, till an "Oh!" expressed her hurting me, where the narrowness of the unbroken passage refused it entrance to any depth. For my part, I was transported, confused and out of myself. Feelings so new were too much for me. My heated and alarmed senses were in a tumult that robbed me of all liberty of thought. Tears of pleasure gushed from my eyes and somewhat assuaged the fire that raged all over me. Phoebe, now well assured that she had, by her touches, sufficiently inflamed me for her purpose, she rolled down the bedclothes gently, and I saw myself stretched naked, my shift being turned up to my neck, whilst I had no power or sense to oppose it. Even my glowing blushes expressed more desire than modesty, whilst the candle, left, to be sure, not undesignedly burning, threw a full light on my whole body. "No," says Phoebe, "you must not, my sweet girl, think to hide all these treasures from me. My sight must be feasted as well as my touch. I must devour with my eyes this springing bosom. Suffer me to kiss it. I have not seen it enough. Oh, let me kiss it once more. Then this delicious down. Oh, let me view the small, dear, tender cleft. This is too much. I cannot bear it. I must. Here she took my hand, and in a transport carried it where you will easily guess. But what a difference in the state of the same thing. A spreading thicket of bushy curls marked the full-grown, complete woman. Then the cavity to which she guided my hand easily received it, and as soon as she felt it within her, she moved herself to and fro with so rapid a friction that I presently withdrew it, wet and clammy, when instantly Phoebe grew more composed after two or three sighs and heart-fetched oaths, and giving me a kiss that seemed to exhale her soul through her lips, she replaced the bedclothes over us. What pleasure she had found, I will not say. But this I know, that the first sparks of kindling nature, the first ideas of pollution, were caught by me that night.